Just want to say again, we welcome those that have joined us since the beginning of the service. We know that as this technology evolves and we work to get it figured out, that people are able to get on and then maybe not and then back on, and just want to welcome you. Last Sunday morning, we focused on the peace of God and the beautiful promise that God gives us to be with us. Some of the scriptures that I had an opportunity to think about and read last week and then this week have just continued to come across my mind and my heart about the peace of God. I'm so thankful for the peace of God. We focused on how God is able to give us peace in stormy times and difficult times. And we know that God sees us where we're at, and He wants us to sense His presence and His help. I think of the scripture that is so meaningful to me. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee or focused on thee. Also think of our verse last week that we had, and I think it was on the kids' quiz, the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace gives us what we need. Today I would like to focus on another one of the beautiful fruits of the Spirit, the second fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit is the fruit of joy. What a great gift joy is to God's people. I've always felt like joy is one of those things that God uniquely gives to His children. And He offers us something that will help us in so many ways of life. Joy is one of those gifts that God provides for us and gives us in the Holy Spirit that helps us to see life differently than other people do. And obviously today, everybody's out there trying to make sense of life and make sense of what's going to happen in the future and why and who's responsible. And for many people, it's a spiritual journey. For many people, they are thinking about eternal things. And I imagine this morning that there are some people that are listening to this that are thinking about eternity. And so I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about joy and about eternity and about God's voice in your spirit and your life. What a great gift joy is to each one of us. And I believe God wants us to sense an overflowing perspective in life that keeps us in the right direction. It helps to keep us upright. When we have joy in our hearts, then we see things the way that God wants us to. I know it helps us to stay positive. I know that it helps us to see the same events that everybody else sees, but whereas they see destruction and doom and they see pain and only problems, God can help us when we have a joyful heart to see how He sees it. You see, God is the God of the past, the present, and the future. God wants us to have hope in Him. God wants us to be balanced and even to the extent that God wants us to reflect who He is, to reflect His character, to reflect the love that He has. And so He gives us this gift of joy to help us to do that. Truly, joy is an incredible gift. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says this, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Think of that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's God's joy. And He gives it to us as a gift. I said this weeks ago, the armor of God is God's armor, but He gives it to us to bless us and to help us. It's His strength for us. And so at times when you're wondering, you don't feel very strong, you wonder if you can do it, you wonder, I've heard people say such things, I don't know how much longer I can go, or I can't hold on. And that sense, that feeling that sometimes can come to us that we're not sure what's going to happen, but I want you to know today that it's God's strength, and He wants to give you that strength. I know that we all would say we need God's strength today. We might need it for different reasons. There are some people, because of their circumstances or their personalities, that have unique challenges and problems. And for them, holding on to the joy of the Lord just helps them simply to get through from day to day. Other people, because of the hope that they have and the joy they have, they're able to make decisions that are good decisions for them. I know that He wants to bless His people, the body of Christ. We've talked a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us certain gifts and helps us to understand the character of God in these fruit of the Spirit. I believe it was Mother Teresa. I did look this up. I know it was Mother Teresa who said this. A joyful heart is like the sunshine of God's love, the hope of eternal happiness. There's so many things that we see in Mother Teresa that we can look up to. But when I look at this picture that I had put on the PowerPoint, and I looked at her eyes and I thought about her journey and her life. Life wasn't perfect for Mother Teresa. My goodness, she had challenges in every way of her life. So if we're putting her up there to be a hero, that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do, though, I believe for me, is to hear her heart and the incredible journey that she was on. Mother Teresa wrote a lot and talked a lot about joy and hope. She believed that God gave her something, a precious gift, and it helped her through all the ups and downs and challenges of her life. I believe that Mother Teresa knew the difference between happiness and joy. You've heard that before. I have too. There is a big difference between happiness and joy. And if your relationship with God and your worldview is rooted on being happy, sometimes that will be good and sometimes it will not be. We know that. There's a big difference. One is short term. One is deeper. One will last for a time, but the other is rooted in the ongoing character of God. I know that being happy is an emotion. It's a good emotion. It's driven by our circumstances, and all of us have had times in our lives when we do feel happy, and there's nothing wrong with that. We want to be happy, and God wants us to be. In fact, there's a lot of times in the Scripture that talk about happiness, but also there's a major difference between happiness and joy. I know that faith produces joy. Our circumstances and our situations determine our emotions, but it's our deep faith that produces joy. And God wants us to have that kind of faith that goes deeper and deeper. The kind of faith, genuine faith, that builds within a godly worldview. Simply, how are we going to look at this virus? How are God's people going to react to it? What are we going to believe ultimately about this virus and what's happened and what's going on? Knowing the joy and the hope and the presence of the Lord will cause a different reaction from people in the news and in the world and in politics and everything else that is there. Joy is so important to your life. And we have really some great examples in the Scriptures about joy and about joy in difficult times and situations. I want to mention three of them this morning. The first one is Mary, the mother of Jesus. I know that so much we think about Mary, it was kind of a good time, an exciting time for her, and she may not have known what was going to happen. But think of Mary, if you would. Think of this young lady whose world is totally, the Holy Spirit crashes into and changes everything. Think of the uncertainties with that. Heather, would you go on to that next slide, please? Think of Mary in the unknowns of the situation that she's in. And all that she thought about, all the dangers that she faced and the uncertainties and the hardships and the threats and all the things that Mary faced, but somehow Mary had something inside of her that caused her to see her circumstances maybe different than anyone else that God could have chosen to do what she did. She had an incredible spirit within her of hope and joy. Her circumstances were uncertain, but the faith that God had given her gave her a great strength to believe God and to hold on to God. And there she's able to say, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Think of her spirit rejoicing, joy in her heart at all these circumstances that were unknown. Now, this is very different than what we're talking about with a virus, because having the Son of God, I'm sure, was an incredibly thought-provoking thing for her. The virus for us just seems very bad and in every way. But what I'm wanting to say is that Mary was able, even in the uncertainties that she faced, in order to keep the perspective that God wanted to. But now the second example, a man named Joseph from the Old Testament. Probably many of you, most of you have heard the story. There's Joseph. He was the favored son of his father. And that probably was like a weight around his neck. But whatever happened, his attitude and the way he lived it out and the favoritism his father created such hatred by the rest of his family, by his brothers, that they just hated him. And they looked for an opportunity to kill him. You imagine what it would be like for all of your brothers, every one of them, to conspire against you, to take you and throw you in a pit and want to kill you. I don't know how Joseph really could handle all that. And then one of them thought better of it and had some character and agreed to a plan to sell their brother into slavery with a caravan that passed through. People that he didn't know and they didn't know. They took him down to Egypt and sold him into slavery. You think, well, that would be enough. That would cause Joseph, I'm sure, to throw away anything he really believed about the promises of God. But even down there, he's falsely accused, thrown into prison. Not just one, not just two, not just three, but for 10 years, Joseph is in an Egyptian prison. I would think Joseph would have every reason in the world to give up hope, have every reason in the world to believe that God had abandoned him. Maybe he would say from his heart, I have no joy, look at what God's done to me. But that's not what Joseph does. He endures hardship. He continues to keep his focus on the God of Israel. And he could even say at the end, when he came to the end of this amazing story and journey, he could say this, what man meant for evil, God used for good. I want to say that what this virus means for evil, let's pray that God will use it for good. And that there will be good things that come from this. And that there will be things that will happen that will cause people to call out to the Lord God. And that you and me, our faith will grow deeper and trusting in God more. Joseph had a core of faith and hope in God, a joy that could not be snuffed out. And then there's the story of Paul and Silas. I'm thinking of this great story in the book of Acts, chapter 16. I'm not going to take time to read it today, but if you have your Bible and you want to look at it for a couple of minutes today, what an incredible story. What an incredible faith that these men had. What an incredible footprint they left because of their faith in God. Please go to that next screen. I skipped reading that scripture. Would you do that? What an incredible story and faith they had. And look at what happened because they had hope in God. They never lost that joy. There they were, Paul and Silas. You probably know the story. If you don't, I encourage you to read it from Acts chapter 16. But look at what happened. And they were beaten. They were flogged. They were humiliated. They were imprisoned. They were unjustly treated. I mean, they were treated so badly that, and they didn't deserve, they were simply preaching the gospel. I mean, they were doing ultimately what God told them to do and wanted them to do, but that's how they were treated. And honestly, that's how it happens in our world. We are not promised that we won't have hard times. In fact, Jesus said that we would. Jesus told the church, he told us that there will be hard times for God's people. And Paul and Silas are example of two men who held on to God. There they were after being beaten, humiliated, and all these things. At nighttime, about midnight, they're singing and praying to the Lord. Can you imagine that? They're in that Philippian jail in the city of Philippi. These two men that are bruised and probably bloody, and they're singing and praising God. What do we do when we face hard times? What do people see in us? I mean, sometimes the things that happen to the people around us aren't really happening to us. And that's how we feel. That's how I feel a little bit at this point. I have a couple of friends that are very sick, and that's impacted me. But as far as I know, my family is good. I thank God for that. I hope so. Our church family has a lot of needs. I feel that sometimes. But I also know that God has blessed me very much and been good to me. And I wonder what's it going to be like on the day that the circumstances in my life aren't going to be as good as they are now. God help me to learn from Paul and Silas. And if you're at that place right now where you're in a dark place, maybe some kind of a dungeon, not literally, but you're in some kind of a dark place, I just want to say, call out to God. Remember the sample, the story of Paul and Silas. It was amazing the witness that these men had in the darkest time. I mean, can you imagine their incredible witness that came out of them because they had joy on the inside? God was watching them the whole time. He saw their suffering. He saw how unjust it was. He saw their abuse. God saw where they were at the whole time. He was watching them. He's watching you and I the whole time. God was with them. Even though they may not have known that and seen that and felt that. And God gave them a great miracle. This story doesn't mean to me when I read and I think about it that God is saying that he's going to spare every one of his people from suffering. Because we know that's not true. But we know what is true is that God is with his people. And he never forgets them. The amazing, creative, infinite, powerful God is with you today. He hears your heart. Some of you, to your family, to your loved ones, maybe to me, maybe to someone in the church, you've talked about what you're feeling. I just want you to know today that you could carry that right to the throne of God. And he hears you. And he calls out your name. God can help you to have his joy. He can help you to hold on in difficult times. He can help you to have faith when the circumstances of life have become very difficult for you. Joy. God wants us to have that joy. How do we find that joy? What is it that Paul and Silas had that helped them in this time? Number one, I think how important it is to have that thankful spirit, that we never lose track of giving thanks to God for who he is and what he's done. And we have so many things to be thankful for. We have so many things to remember and say to God, thank you for what you have done in my heart and my life. A thankful spirit. Also a spirit of focusing on the good. That God can help us to focus on the good. Last week, we had a scripture that we read from Philippians about the importance of us thinking about and focusing on the things that are good and right and just and holy, and how every one of them are important to us to think about and to hold on to. God wants us to focus on those things. God wants us to be still and to know him. I talked last week about Sabbath, and I've had a number of people send me a note or call me or talk to me this week and tell them how God has allowed them to have a precious Sabbath. I just want to say to you, if you have enjoyed that Sabbath and God's spoken to you, I'd love to hear that story. I had said earlier in the week, I wanted to ask people to send me pictures of what they were doing during this time of Sabbath. For some people, they've had incredible time in the woods. Other people have had time to reconnect with family. I just want to say to you today that God can help you to know his presence and his spirit, to be still and know that he is God, to trust him. I want to also say today how important it is to remember the joy of your salvation. For those of you that have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life, to know how important it is that you are on track of remembering that and celebrating that and giving thanks to God for the gift of salvation. God has given us a great gift in the body of Christ. and we should celebrate it with all our hearts. Psalm chapter 51, verse 12 says, would you go to that one? Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Wow. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. God, help each one of us to be focused on salvation and what God gives us. The faith of Paul and Silas was so evident. And I know I didn't read the scripture, but I'm going to read one verse from it here in closing this morning. And that was, after all this story of Paul and Silas, do you know what the question of the jailer was? Most of you probably do. You've heard this story many times before. But I want you to think about what was the question of the jailer after Paul and Silas' incredible testimony. The question was simply this: sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? That was as powerful as a testimony as Paul and Silas had. That jailer heard their words. He saw their trust in God. He saw that they didn't run away when they could have. And the question was, what must I do to be saved? You see how powerful having a joyful spirit can impact and affect the people in your life. If this is an area that you struggle, today's an opportunity to pray and say, God, help me to have a joyful spirit. Help me to have that river, as the song says, we've sung for a long time, that river that flows out of me. Help me to have a joyful spirit that people see it's genuine, it's not pretend. I don't paste a smile on every day. Sometimes you just got to get through, but joy is about knowing that God is in control. Joy is about saying, no matter what happens, I trust God. Joy is how Paul and Silas were able to have such a testimony that jailer in Philippi said, what do I have to do to get it? What do I have to do to have that kind of perspective? What do I have to do to believe in God like you do? Joy is a powerful force. It's a witness to those around you. It's a way to say to people, I believe and I know Christ. It's not being perfect. It's not having everything figured out. But it's especially saying, when I don't have it figured out, I will trust God. What a beautiful story and example. I wonder today if there might be someone that's listening that might want to pray the prayer that the jailer from Philippi prayed. Maybe you know that there's something missing in your life. Maybe this story would say to you, I want what Paul and Silas had. I want to be real and genuine. I want to invite you today to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to give you that same faith that he gave Paul and Silas. I want you to know that God hears your prayer. God hears your heart. You might be someone that says, Pastor, I really don't have joy at all. I'm happy when things are good. But honestly, I have such a hole inside of me. I know only God can fill it. I want to say to you today, today's a perfect time, right in your living room. Whether you're alone or there's some people around you today, I want to say to you, God hears that prayer. And God would want to speak to you today. And there may be some believers that are listening today and saying, oh God, maybe I've forgotten how important joy is. I've been too focused on my circumstances. God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Oh my, what an incredible loving God we serve. He cares so much about our prayer, whatever it is today. We're going to close this service and I'm going to pray and invite you to pray with me. Maybe some of you want to pray that prayer of salvation. What must I do to be saved? The response was very simple. They replied, did Paul and Silas, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Simply believe and trust. Call out to God. He'll hear your prayer today. Whatever your prayer is, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your love and your presence and the joy that you give to us. I thank you today that whatever we sense and we feel about the virus and we're not sure what to think and what to do, God, we would know that you're in control. God, you seem to allow things that we don't understand sometimes. We have to somehow come to a place of accepting what we don't know. And I pray today that we would trust you in these days. I pray for those that might be listening today that have never really asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them for their sins. Today, that they would make that choice, and just now they would pray the sinner's prayer. They would say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I do not have you in my heart and my life, and I'm asking that you would come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Lord God, help me to know who you are. Help me to hear who you are and learn who you are. And God, that I'll keep my spirit and heart open to your truth. I pray, God, for those that would pray that prayer today, that just now they would hear and sense that God listens to their prayer and will answer it today, I pray. And I pray, Lord, for others that are here and maybe struggling with fear, struggling with anxiety, maybe struggling with joy, God, that they would just be honest with you and say, God, this is my need today. I know you can help me, and I call on you. Whatever the need is today, God, I pray that you would help us to sense that and to feel that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Shauna if you would lead us in singing It Is Well With My Soul. Let's maybe do the first and third verse, if you would do that, if that would be okay, Hannah. Would you join us as we worship with this? Just want to say to those that have been here, thank you. I'm so glad you could connect with us today. There might be some that would say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer and I asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins. I just want you to know that that's the most important decision you can ever make. God will take you from there. If you want me to know that, you'd like to talk to me about that, or just you would like to be able to learn more about what it means to take those steps of faith in Jesus, I would love for you to call me, contact me, another believer, and grow in your faith. And for each of you that are here today, I'm so glad you're here. I pray that God would watch over you and bless you this week and meet your every need. Would you sing with us? We're going to sing two verses of this great song in closing today. It Is Well With My Soul. My soul. May God bless you today. May you sense His Spirit and His presence. Please let us know how we can pray for you. And if you have a need, please let us know. We are trying to connect people that express needs and those that are able to help. And we have a lot of people that want to do that. Thanks for being with us today. Wish you God's very best the rest of the day. May you sense His Spirit and His presence. God bless. Thank you.